Bearcat Student Athlete segment and the question and answer segment that we do each and every week. Make sure that you fill out those question and answer cards on your tables if you would like to interact directly with both Coach Doral and Coach Phelps later on in the evening. Speaking of your servers, now they'll take those question and answer cards to us, so just fill them out, hand them to your server, and we'll make sure your question gets asked later on. Again, speaking of your servers, let's give them a nice round of applause. All those young men and women who's working really hard tonight to make sure that you have a great evening, and as well the entire Carson Sports Grill family. Also, we are indebted to Jim and Amy from the student body here in Maryville because they are providing free giveaways of Bearcat gear each and every week. So you'll want to stick around and see if you're a winner tonight of some of that free, those free T-shirts, hats, that kind of thing, courtesy of the student body right here in Maryville. We're coming off a great weekend at Northwest last weekend because it was family weekend, a lot of things going on. But you know, there's a lot of things going on again this weekend as well. Bearcat volleyball, for example, in action this weekend at the Washburn Lady Blues Fall Classic in Topeka. They've got a full slate of matches going on this weekend. The Bearcats' first opponent is South Nazarene. That's tomorrow morning at 11:30, followed by a match tomorrow night against Southwestern Oklahoma. That match gets underway at 6:30. Then on Saturday, the Bearcats go up against East Central at 9 o'clock in the morning. And finally, on Saturday afternoon, with a 3:30 start, the Bearcat volleyball team takes on Harding. That's all a part of the Washburn Lady Blues Fall Classic in Topeka this weekend. Now, the Bearcat golf team, they're busy, probably still busy today, as they're hosting their own Bearcat Classic. That goes on not only today, but it also goes on all day tomorrow at Mazingo Lake Golf Course. Bearcat soccer travels to Emporia, Kansas for a game against Emporia State tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then back to Bearcat Pitch for a Sunday 1 o'clock start against Washburn. So if you get a chance to support your Bearcat soccer team, Sunday is the day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the Bearcat cross-country team will be participating this weekend in the Fort Hays Open. That's Saturday at at Hays, Kansas. And finally, our Bearcat football team travels to Edmond, Oklahoma, with a 1 o'clock kickoff versus Central Oklahoma on Saturday. The Bearcat game day with John Coffey begins at noon Saturday right here on the Bearcat Radio Network. When we come back, we'll turn things over to John Coffey as he visits with the head coach of the Bearcat volleyball team, Amy Phelps. Bearcat volleyball very successful this year with a 9-6 overall mark. We'll be back in 1 minute for John and Amy's visit. We'll do that. You're listening on the Bearcat Coaches Show live at Carson's right here on KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Vaquero & Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information available at 816-806-7777.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you by Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work and driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, family-owned since 1951, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph, 800-292-6546.
Bearcat Radio Network broadcasts are supported by the Compass Dental Group, Dr. Bruce Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler at 231 East Summit Drive in Maryville. More information available at CompassDentalGroup.com.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you in part by the Northwest Alumni Association. Contributions to the Alumni Association support the Northwest Foundation and its educational opportunities for students. For more information, call 562-1248.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV, KRNW Radio. Joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State volleyball team, Amy Phelps. A big round of applause for Amy Phelps joining us again here tonight. Yeah. Amy, your team's had a little bit of time off since your last match over the weekend in Truman. One of these rare occasions where you almost get a full week off here.
Yeah, it's been nice to hit some things that, when you have three matches in the same week, all you feel like you're doing is preparing for the next opponent. So it's been nice to have a longer week this week that we can actually go after some technical things and some team concepts that we want to improve on.
Well, let's go back to last weekend and talk a little bit about the matches last weekend. First of all, you had a home match on Friday night. Southwest Baptist came to town and came away with a 3-2 win in that one. Just talk a little bit about the way that one came with the Purple Bearcats.
Well, I think the first two sets went well, and I think that, they always have that break in between the second and the third, and I think that Southwest Baptist did a good job of coming out and just staying aggressive. And, they haven't won a match or a conference match the whole year, so they're obviously used to being down. That's not anything that's new. And so they're comfortable in that environment, and we just didn't take care of our side like we should have. We had too many unforced errors. But it was nice to see in the fifth set that we came out and took care of business. It was a little too close for comfort for us, but I think that even if you're not playing well, it's a sign of a good team that they can pull a match out not playing well.
What are some of the reasons you feel you were able to come out and finally pull that match away for them?
I just think they made a decision that we're going to win. We're going to do what we need to do to, put the ball away. We're going to do what we need to do to get a good pass, and I think it was all mental. And I think they were having some issues getting over some of their past mistakes that they were making previous in that match, and so they just decided we wanted it more.
And after that, it's kind of tough to play a home match on a Friday, then you get on the road and go to Kirksville, Missouri the next day, and there's really no good way to get from Maryville to Kirksville, so it's a tough trip, especially after a hard-fought match on a Friday night. Go over to Kirksville, play a Truman State team that's been one of the more successful teams in the MIAA through the years, and a tough loss there to the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like mentally we were there and prepared to, play Truman. And, in our pod, Truman and Central, they put up good battles. And for us to still be kind of thinking about the night before and going five with them, I just didn't feel like they were ready mentally to step on the court and compete with them. Truman, they were on all cylinders. And I just think we felt a little overwhelmed, which we shouldn't. But historically, we've always had every single team that's gone there, women's and men's basketball, that you struggle there. And we just have to find a way to overcome those struggles next time.
How much of it do you think was the fact you had a hard-fought match on a Friday night and then had to make the trip over there on Saturday?
I'm sure it was some of it, but you got to overcome that challenge. That's home court advantage for them. And we have to make a decision to say, we understand the challenges and we're going to overcome them.
Anyway, as far as what you can take out of a match like that, is there anything? Obviously, you hate to try to take something out of a loss, but what are some of the things that can come out of a match like that?
I think mentally they needed to learn how to let something go and move on to the next match. I think from Southwest Baptist, we were still, like I said, thinking about that. I think that when we're not playing as well as we should, we have to find a way to piece things together. And make things happen on the court. Losses sometimes are the best thing for a team. And we came back and we talked about the goals that we had set at the beginning of the season. And we had them look at their individual goals, and they actually recommitted to all of them. The next day's practice was vastly improved. I didn't feel like we practiced well the week before. And I feel like it was really based on them wanting to give more. And so I felt like their heads were much more focused, and we were going down the right path on Tuesday. We didn't practice on Monday, but on Tuesday, we got after it. So I feel good about our chances this weekend, and I think we're going to go in there and earn some wins.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the tournament coming up, and when you look at your conference mark, still standing with a pretty good conference mark right now.
Yeah. We've had a good schedule in the sense that, we've played some of the mid to lower teams right now, and then we're starting to now get to a point where we're playing Central, now we're playing Washburn in accounts, now we're playing Kearney. And so we've had a chance to really get our feet wet and get some confidence underneath us. And so I liked how our schedule has really worked out for us. And this weekend is a good chance for us to get back on the winning side and have that confidence built even more with the games that we're playing.
Yeah, is it good to have a little bit of a break in the match type of schedule where you have a full week where you can go back and maybe go back to the fundamentals a little bit and go back to some of the things that helped you get off to a good start this season?
Absolutely. I think it's just nice to, especially with a younger team, to hit, as we all know, they're not going to learn on the first time. So to hit back on those principles, you know, and obviously it's my first year, so they're not going to remember all the things that we've wanted them to focus on. And so we've really focused a lot on us, and I think that they feel a lot more comfortable and feel like this is Bearcat volleyball again, and let's get back on the winning way.
When you talk about being a young team, who are some of the players right now that has stood out that really have been making a name for themselves early in their career right now?
Dallas Gardner, she's a freshman that played at St. James Academy. They won 4 state championships. One year, I think they were named the best team in the U.S. Named it, you know, it, they're not playing a, you know, a U.S. schedule per se, but she came from a great program, and she knows how to win. And she knows how to stay cool and calm, which is very important with the quarterback or the setter of the team. She had a triple-double against Southwest Baptist, which is pretty hard to get. So she had double digits in digs, sets, and kills. So she does more than one thing, and she's just very smart. So she's been one that's really stood out that has played almost every single set. Abby Graves and Brooke Bartosh have done a great job. They're sophomores. You know, they have come in and kept growing. They're our firepower, and they're just improving and pushing themselves every single day. So those are some of the younger players that have stood out. It's not all of them that have played, but they're the ones that we count on the most for sure.
And you've got some players, too, that are coming back in the program. You've been able to see this program grow a little bit here in the last couple of years.
Yeah. We have 3 seniors this year that, you know, have been with the program for 3 years and, you know, 4 years for 2 of them, but 3 years for Tori. And it is nice to have that leadership that's come from, you know, the year before. And they've definitely stepped up their roles of being leaders just this past week to understand that they know what needs to be done. So let's speak up and let's help the team get in the right direction. And so we're starting to build a more cohesive team because the players are staying and we're starting to build really what, you know, the new Bearcats would be about.
Again, we're talking with Amy Phelps, the volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State, the head volleyball coach. And Amy, as we talked about a little bit earlier, you've got a lot of matches coming up here in the next couple of days, competing in the Washburn Lady Blues Fall Classic over in Topeka. And again, talk about the type of talent level you'll be seeing here in the next couple of days.
Well, it's a regional crossover, so what they try to do is to bring, you know, other teams, other conferences within our region, and that conference is the GAC. Historically, they haven't been as good as the MIAA from top to bottom. Now, that doesn't mean you take them lightly. and so we're going to have to go in there. They're going to be similar to maybe what an SBU would be, a Southwest Baptist last weekend. So, you know, with a team like that, you really have to be technically good because sometimes you never know what kind of shots they're going to hit at you. It's not a normal Washburn where they're probably going to slam it on the ground, or Truman where it's pretty predictable with what they're going to do and they run those things over and over. I think that they run some plays that maybe aren't meant to be that way. And so you just have to be very technical, and you have to take care of yourself and your side technically and be on point every single time. And so I feel like our team has to really focus on that this weekend. But these teams, I think, are going to be a challenge for us. But if we take care of our side, I think we'll have an easier time, obviously, of getting those wins. Harding is number one in that conference right now. Historically, they have been a very good team in that conference, and we play them last. So that's going to be an extra challenge, and it'll be their fourth set, you know, their fourth match in the weekend too. So we'll be ready to go of the team who's the less tired, or that acts the less, you know, the least tired, I would say. So I'm excited to see how our team's going to step up to this challenge.
And when you talk about playing several matches in a short period of time, how do you approach a weekend like this as opposed to maybe where you have a single match on a night when you know you're going to play 2 or 3 matches in a row here? What's the difference in the mindset going into a tournament like that?
I think sometimes, well, a lot of the times when we're playing league play, we have so much time to prepare a game plan. And we're going to say, this is the XYZ that we want to get done. Here's our focus. within, you know, tournament play, you may not have seen these teams play before. We try to get film on them, but there's only so much you can really prepare for. So it's, you have to learn within the match. You have to be very aware as a coaching staff and very aware as players. This is what they did the last two plays, so we feel like they're going to do it again. And so it's kind of like poker. You know, you show your hand the first set, and now you're kind of like, I understand this team, they understand us. Now let's go and find a way to really beat them. But you do tend to focus a lot on yourself at the beginning. And then you focus on what you do well and put that out there, and then you kind of learn their tendencies along the way.
Now, after this weekend in Topeka, you're back on the road on Wednesday, a trip to Warrensburg, a match, as you mentioned, with one of the top teams as well, Central Missouri, coming up on Wednesday. Talk a little bit about getting ready for the Jennies and the type of challenge that they'll present on Wednesday.
They always have consistent players. You know, they don't make a lot of errors, and they play at high level, and those two things are deadly. And in the past, we haven't responded well when we do play them because of the amount of pressure that they put on us. And so we have to find a way, regardless of what they're doing, for us to play the best that we can play. And consistency is always the name of the game. And when you have a younger team that makes errors and gives away free points, it just makes it easier on the opponent. So we have to really clean up our side. And we have to play, you know, not unbelievable. We just have to play a better, cleaner game.
As far as the way the season's gone up to this point, several weeks in now, as you look at the rest of the MIAA, any surprises right now the way the conference is shaping up?
Not necessarily. I knew Kearney had a chance to come in and really make a statement in this conference, even though it's their first year. He's a great coach. He's got a great program going on there. You know, I think it's pretty similar to what it has been lately. You know, for us to make the step up, I think Truman is the key. Truman has finished fourth the last 2 years, and we've finished fifth. And I think for us, we have to take care of Truman at home. And I think that's kind of the key for us to be able to take the next step up, to start taking sets away from Washburns, take sets away from Emporia. The one team that I would have to say that has surprised me is Emporia. They don't seem as strong as they have been in the past. They've been losing, you know, to some teams that, you know, historically they have beat pretty easily. And so I think that's an area that's going to move around a little bit. And they finished third, I think, last year. So there's going to be some room right there for some movement. I think Fort Hays State's just going to get better and better. And so I don't think there's like a huge surprise, but I think the people that we knew were going to be good, they keep making those improvements. And Poirier has surprised me a little bit. But he's going to get them going where they need to, you know, to be. He's going to find he's the type of coach that's going to find a lineup that's going to work.
All right. Well, Amy, thanks a lot for being with us here this evening. Again, good luck to your team this weekend competing over in Topeka.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Amy Phelps, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Women's Volleyball team, with us on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We got a lot more coming your way right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in northwest Missouri and southwest Iowa, 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell.
Thank you.
AD, a good win for your team last week. 66-6, the final score in the win over Northeastern State over at Bearcat Stadium. And when you prepared for the game last week, did you anticipate a final score of 66-6?
Well, I don't know if you ever think about that type of score. I did feel really good. After Thursday's practice, I just felt like our kids were really locked in mentally. And, you know, we, from an offensive standpoint, we charred everything on you know, catches, drops, and we didn't have a lot of drops. I think we threw one interception last week, and Trevor was up, you know, that landmark we always look for, 80% of his passes, and he was right there again. So, you know, I just, I feel good because our, you know, our body language from our kids, their practice execution all week was good.
Now let's talk away that game. Went, first of all, the first drive of the game for Northeastern State. They marched it right down the field, got into the end zone on a nice pass play. But it seemed like momentum was stopped very quickly at that point with the blocked point after attempt. And then Tyler Shaw's return and the kickoff really set the offense up to get things rolling.
Yeah, it did. I was, again, just proud of our kids, the effort. But we thought special teams was going to be an area that we would gain a distinct advantage in, and it turned out we did. You know, that first drive seemed to last forever. I'd look up and it was third and long, and you'd blink and it was a first down. So, awesome. Matt Longacre goes in and blocks the point after, and then Tyler Shaw gets great, great blocking on the kick return and gets us going on the sideline. And I know I said to you after the game, I just really feel like that ignited our sideline and really got our kids going, got me going, and you know, we just never looked back.
And when you talk about Trevor Adams back out there and being sharp, he really came back after missing a couple weeks, and I don't think you could ask for anything better out there.
No, absolutely not, John. Just he's just a – we've got great kids. I tell people that all the time. And, you know, people always ask what makes Bearcat football special, and we've got – good kids. We've got good student athletes that believe in what we're doing, and the way he's handled himself the last few weeks, you know, with the adversity. You know, the last time he played, obviously he didn't play very well with the rest of the team, but you know, he weathered the storm, the injury. He was awesome the last couple weeks. You know, he probably could have played up at Kearney, but you know, our policy with injury, if you're injured, you're not practicing, especially at that position, by Thursday, you know, you're not going to play on the game. And I just was so proud of him, very happy for him, the way that he bounced back.
And when you look at the offense as well, I thought another key offensive line that did a good job on
that. They did. I thought they played really well. You know, like I said, we've mixed and matched some guys, and I feel like right now we've got a little bit some continuity going there, guys playing beside each other for the second, some of them third game of the year. And, you know, I was proud of them. I thought the pass protection was really good, and the fact that we were able to, you know, so much of what we do is play action passing. Obviously, you've got to be getting positive yards, and we were running the ball very effectively, and it just sets up a lot of what we do offensively.
Yeah, and when you talk about running the game, both Simmons and Franklin, I thought they gave you some good carries there.
They did. They were running hard. You know, that's the thing. I know you could see it from where you're at. And you know, it's one thing for a running back to get the yards he's supposed to get because there's a good hole there. But when you go back and you evaluate the tape, the second effort that James and Jordan were giving on their runs, you know, we were getting them to level two, but they were making people miss, sometimes at level three, and then just being physical and finishing the runs downfield. And it was awesome to watch.
And also, when you talk about the receivers, I thought they ran routes very well, and they got open, and where Trevor could be able to hit them in stride and things, too.
Yeah,
they did a good job.
Yeah, he did. You know, and again, with when you're trying to move the pocket, boots and nakeds and stuff like that, you know, it's you want to pitch and catch, but you want to put it out in front of them so they can catch and run afterwards. And, you know, again, we did that very well. A couple times, you know, I thought our receivers bailed him out on a couple balls that, you know, weren't the best from him. Tyler Shaw went up and made a great catch, and, you know, it's just, it was a total team effort Saturday.
And one other thing to talk about as far as Trevor Adams, how much discussion after the game with Trevor came about with his blocking ability out
there? You know, I saw one of them and I missed the other one, and I had some people say stuff to me downstairs in the press conference. But when you went back and watched them on Sunday, both times when Jordan's long run, when we were going south here, when we ran what we call an inside oblique play, it's an inside zone play, and he cut it all the way back and got a really good downfield block, first off by Shaw on the slot, and then I think it was Joe Zadis. But the corner had spun off, and he would have made the tackle, and Trevor just smoked him. So it was, I was proud of him. We hand out an award each week, offense, defense, special teams, and they're red hammers, and they're for good, clean, legal hits. And Trevor won it for the offensive side, so it was great.
You don't see that up
no,
very
heck
often.
No. I've coached football 15 years, and I can count on one hand how many times I've seen a quarterback throw a block, and our guy did it twice twice in one game.
All right. Now, defensively, we talked about that first drive of the game. I thought a big key was the adjustments you had to make after that defensively to where really made things tough for Northeastern State the rest of the year.
Yeah, they did. I think you know, our defense, Rich, started running a little bit more 30 and disguising where the fourth blitzer was coming from, and not only were we blitzing, they were getting home. You know, I talk to you all the time about it's not always just about sacks. It's about harassing, making the kid move his feet, getting in his face, and they did a really good job with that. But to me, John, the key was that our front seven stopped number 20, that running back. A kid, I know you couldn't see it. I know I had some people say stuff to me after the game. Well, you said that running back was good. And he trust me, he really is a talented young man. We just never gave him an opportunity to get in there and get going.
And another case where you were able to force some fumbles, some turnovers on Saturday, and turn those into points again.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of statistics in football, and you always try to pull out the ones that are the most important to winning. And turnovers, the turnover battle the last 2 weeks, were was it plus 8 or plus 7?
Yeah, 8, I think.
Yeah, so we've gotten 8 turnovers in the last 2 weeks, and we haven't turned it over once. So, you know, that's a recipe for success in itself. And to me, I thought another big play of the game was, you're going to talk to Colin here in a little bit, but we chose to keep the run the pump block team out. And, you know, looking back, I probably should have kept the defense out in the field and went punt safe. But the kid was only averaging 24 yards a punt, so I wanted to try to get it in Jordan's hand. Well, they ran that fake punt. You know, it was a good play on their part. And but then the very next play, when Colin picked that pass off, it was a phenomenal play. You know, he had his back turned around and intercepted the ball. So I thought that was another big, big play in the game. They were gaining a little momentum, and we just shut the door on them again.
That's only the second week in a row that Colin's been able to come up with a big play. It kind of turned the tide a little bit.
Yeah, he is. He's a great player. I tell people to remember his name, Colin DeBizer. He'll be a state senator in the great state of Illinois one of these days. He's a very intelligent young man, and he's playing real at a real high level right now.
No, this time last week we talked about Northeastern State, and that they really passed the eye test when you watch them warm up. And again, when you looked at them before the game, they looked like they had some athletes out there. Yeah. But you're able to neutralize a lot of what.
Yeah, I told you they were good. That big tackle came roaming out in the field. It was a good night. Looked good, but we did. Again, when you play team football and you got kids playing hard and. I've said it all along. I don't particularly care what other people think about our program, or I'm talking about style of football, if they like, you know, our offense or like our defense. But I want people to, when we're done playing, know they were in a football game, and for their coach after the game to just say, hey, that's the hardest I've ever seen a football team play. And that means so much to me. And, you know, I pass that along to our kids. I tell our kids that all the time. If you'll play with great passion and great enthusiasm, you know, you're going to get in a game at some point in time, and we have. We have over the course of history here played teams that are more talented than us, but when you get that many guys that have bought into what you're doing, moving in the same direction, you know, they believe in each other and they believe in their family, they're hard to stop.
It's also a great crowd for the game on Saturday, awesome. Family Day, and they were having a good time.
They were. It was great to see. I mean, I thought the first home game was good. You know, everybody's kind of getting back into it. This was by far the best home game as far as the crowd being vocal. I could really hear them on third down. And, you know, it's important. You know, with everybody, what everybody does on offense nowadays, nobody huddles, and they're up at the line of scrimmage checking stuff. So when a crowd gets into the game and they're loud like that, it just – I don't think sometimes they realize how much energy, positive energy, they give back to the kids.
And I really think it's an intelligent crowd. They know when they need to make the noise. And perhaps times when it's time to be a little quiet for you.
Yeah, they are. They do a great job. Third down is so we talked about statistics. Third down is so important in the game of football. And they're really starting to get it going. Nate Davis has got some AC/DC playing when it's third down, and he does an awesome job. You really should have seen him in noon basketball today. He had a triple-double, so he played really well. But, it's neat to see the crowd get going.
Unfortunately, we won't see that crowd for a while.
No. Well, we'll see him. Hey, we're on the road next week, but that's technically our home game, so... I'm looking forward to that being our home game.
All right, now let's look ahead. You've got Central Oklahoma coming up. Central Oklahoma coming in 1-4 overall. They've had losses to Missouri Southern, Pittsburgh State, Emporia State, and Missouri Western. They're one win, though, against Washburn, a very big win there. So Central Oklahoma, one of those teams that's a little bit hard to figure out. They played a lot of teams fairly well, but right now just standing at 1-4.
Yeah, well, three of their four losses are to teams that are undefeated. So I think you got to start there. The thing that I've really just tried to hammer home to the kids this week, the last time they were at home, they upset Washburn. And the thing is, I mean, you go back and look at the film, I know you have access to that. They didn't just beat Washburn. I thought they beat them up. And Washburn's a very physical football team. and they're a good team. And so it just was one of those games that Washburn returned the opening kickoff to midfield, ran a play action pass, missed the deep guy down the middle, and after that it was just UCO was in the game the entire time, and they played hard, and they were very physical. So they're a team that, from a matchup standpoint, they match up well with their athletes. And, you know, I've told our kids to just get past the record, and I think we've done a good job of that. I think once you watch that Washburn film, you see that the talent that they have is there. So we've got to be ready to play.
And they're a team under a first-year head coach, and it looks like he's bringing in some guys and getting his program going right now.
Yeah, you know, again, last year we saw them play Washburn in a non-conference game, and that was the week before we played Washburn. So we had, you know, we exchanged tape and watched it. You know, Central Oklahoma last year was not a good football program on tape. And in 1 year's time, when I turned that film on, I was just like, holy cow. So he's a good coach. You know, he won a national championship at the junior college level. He's a young guy. That's his alma mater. He grew up in Oklahoma. And just in 1 year's time, he went out and got some transfer kids, quite a few of them actually. And then I thought did a pretty decent job of recruiting right in that Oklahoma hub. That's really good high school football right there. And they're going to be a force sooner than later.
Now, again, when you look at Central Oklahoma, they're another team that has a pretty good running back, that's MIAA Player of the Week here a couple, 3 weeks
ago. Yeah, he has. It's, you know, I thought the kid last week from Northeast was special, and then you watch this kid run around. He's probably more of a complete back than the kid you saw last week as far as he catches more passes out of the backfield. I think he's probably got a little bit better vision, too. He's more like a Jordan James, and just he'll slash and cut. You know, he's not top-end speed guy. He's more of an inside zone stretch type guy and catch the ball out of the backfield. But he's very talented, and, you know, for us, we feel like if we can stop the run and get them into a passing situation, that'll be good for us. Quarterback, they've got a quarterback, very talented, very mobile. They don't run him. And I don't know if it's because they don't have a backup. So, you know, hopefully he's not running Saturday, because he's when he does, he's special.
What are some of the keys to the matchup on Saturday?
Well, again, you know, I know I sound like a broken record, but, you know, we're doing a really good job on special teams. And then I watch their special teams, and it looks to me they're playing a lot of backups on special teams, and their net punt average and their kick return and all that stuff. I feel like we can win the special teams battle again. I feel like maybe there's an opportunity there to block a punt. And, you know, they rugby punt again, so we've really worked with Jordan this week to try to field that punt and get it up and get it going. Defensively, we need to stop the run. We need to stop that kid. We need to get him in third downs. And, you know, I'm confident our pressure package will get home and disrupt that kid. Same thing with him. In times when under duress, he hasn't thrown the ball very well. And then, you know, offensively, again, I think the big key for us is just try to be balanced, but get on the perimeter. They're really big and athletic inside. They're strong side, defensive end, defensive tackle, and nose tackle. They're talented kids. And, you know, with what we're going to try to do, hopefully we can double team them on our run stuff. And we know where they're going to line up by formation. We can give them a formation, and we can get the B gap where we want and the A gap. So I feel like we can double team those kids, maybe get on the perimeter a little bit.
Now, do you feel like you're coming into this matchup, perhaps coming off your best performance of the year last week?
Yeah, I think so. And that's something I talked with the kids about tonight. I think we gained a lot of confidence as a football team and as coaches after last week. And now the key, you know, season after Saturday's half over. And we just got to build on that success. And, you know, I think our kids understand that. And I think they're excited about getting out and getting going.
All right, Edie, we'll bring you back here a little bit later and answer some questions from the crowd here. But it's good to have you with us on the show again this
week. Thank you very much.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorland. And, again, we'll hear more from AD a little bit later on during our program. But coming up next, Rodney will be back and talk with a couple Bearcat football players. That's all coming up right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by national investors and Northwest alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National investors with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodson's in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodson's at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live at Carson Sports Grill here in Maryville. It's time now for our Meet Your Bearcat Student Athlete segment. It's my pleasure to introduce 6'4" senior linebacker from, as Coach Doral said, the great state of Illinois, Colin DeBeiser. Colin, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Colin, let's talk a little bit about your impressions from the defensive side of the ball last week in the big win. Seems like everybody was flying around the ball and having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we weren't happy with that first drive. We'd like to have that not happen again. But, you know, after we came in and we made some adjustments, we kind of cinched up our belt and said, hey, we're going to play a ball game now. So after that, we were happy with our results.
You know, there have been times over the last several weeks. Now, the defense has been playing pretty good all season long, but for one reason or another, one phase of the game, just not clicking on all cylinders. And it really seemed like last week that everything came together for the Bearcats. Can last week's game, in your opinion or your team's opinion, be a stepping stone for what we might see Saturday and in the coming weeks?
I think so. I think we got a lot of confidence in each other, and it was awesome to see the offensive side of the ball rolling, and it kind of got us fired up, especially after that first drive. So, we were all excited. The whole team collectively, bought into, the system, what the coaches have been preaching all week about, going hard and giving a lot of effort. So,
after the initial drive by them to score, how big was the block extra point and then the big run back on the kickoff?
Sure, that was huge. Matt Longacre getting his big paw up there and blocking that kick was huge. And that was really good to see. And then Shaw, did his magic and found some light at the end of the tunnel and made a big run. And that just got everyone rolling and see the offense just go ahead and punch that ball in real quick just to turn the tide. And that was really great to see.
Now, Coach earlier talked a little bit about your interception last week and how important it was. Came at a big time for you. And talk a little bit about the play, your read of the play, and a little bit about what you were thinking.
Sure.
When you turned around and there the ball was.
Sure. Yeah, I got to wall that guy all the way back to the safeties and, kind of funnel him to the safeties. And so I'd showed, pressure so that way, we'd get a hot read on that guy because I knew I'd be going back to cover him. And so I did. I walled him and I saw Nate coming down, Nate DeYoung. He played it perfectly too. And that guy had nowhere to go. So I turned around and saw the ball and just caught the ball.
When you catch it, what do you think? Is it pick six every time?
Oh, man, I hit the floor. I just protect the ball and make sure that it doesn't come out, that's for sure.
Now, the defense really wanted to emphasize last week going after the quarterback. I'm sure you do that every week, but it seemed like it was a special emphasis last week, and you were very successful doing that. Is that something you'll try again this week?
I think so. Just, making sure we get that face pressure and kind of trying to disguise where we're going to be blitzing and stuff like that. That's important. It obviously showed a little bit of success last week and kind of made him the quarterback so we couldn't step into his throws. He was always throwing off of his back leg. So that was some success we saw. So hopefully we can carry that into the next week.
Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of fun with you. I'll go serious first, then we'll have the fun.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about your major and your plans for your degree in the future.
All right, I'm a business management and marketing double major, and after December when I graduate, I'm planning on going to work for my uncle. He's got a roofing company, so I'll do some estimating and bidding for roofing technology. So,
okay, now we'll get into the fun stuff.
Okay,
what's your favorite type of music?
Chill music, like Dave Matthews Band and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's what I like.
How about your favorite meal? Now I know it's everything on the menu at Carson's, but. But what's your favorite meal?
Favorite meal? Mom makes a mean lasagna. I really like that. When I go home, I try to get that every time. So.
Good. What's your most treasured possession?
Most treasured possession? I don't know. I'd rather just spend time with my family than have a lot of things. So they come down for all the games, a road trip from Illinois every time. So I really just value that.
Good answer, good answer. If they're listening, it's an even better answer. What's been your best and worst job that you've ever had?
Best and worst job. Well, I think the most fun job is working for my uncle. On the some summers I get to go back and work with him, so that's really fun. Kawasaki, I worked out there one summer. That wasn't a lot of fun on the assembly line, so I'd rather not do that if I didn't have to.
Do you have any nicknames, or as your defensive teammates or anybody giving you any nicknames?
Yeah, most of the people on the team don't even know my real name. Everyone calls me Bud.
Okay, tell us how you got the nickname Bud.
Well, when I first came in my freshman year, we were in fall camp, and another outside linebacker, Bill Bowdler, wanted to, you know, call my name. I had done something wrong, and he couldn't remember what my name was, and he just knew that it rhymed with Budweiser. So he said, Budweiser, what are you doing? And it just kind of stuck and eventually got shortened to Bud. So.
Okay. Now, I ask this of everybody, every student-athlete each week, what's the one thing about you that would surprise us to know about Colin?
We were talking about that earlier, and I told him I was going to tell him I can balance pretty much anything on my chin.
Is that right?
Yeah, I always wow the guys in the locker room with putting a chair on my chin or something like that. So.
Do you want to demonstrate tonight?
Sure.
There's a full glass of water right
there. Oh, yeah.
No, we better not. Folks, give it up. Colin DeBeiser, the Bearcat football team. Thanks, Colin. We appreciate it. Good luck Saturday in your game against Central Oklahoma. When we come back, we're going to have offensive lineman Rod Williams for you when the show returns after this one-minute timeout. Live from Carson's, you're in tune to KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at MaryvilleGlassandLock.com. Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at MaryvilleMo.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Bearcat Coaches Show, and we're now joined by the 6 foot 5 inch, 300-pound senior and the left tackle for your Northwest Bearcats. Please welcome Rod Williams.
Appreciate that.
Rod, we appreciate you being here tonight. How about last week's game?
Last week's game was, how do I describe it? It wasn't surprising. It was just, I want to say a relief, because everything finally, like you guys said earlier, everything finally came together and we played, like I had been telling everybody who'd asked, you know, how I felt our team could play this whole year. And it was just a beautiful thing to be a part of. Offense was clicking, like you said. Our defense played to the high level that they had been playing, you know, all year long. And if we give them help like that, then I don't really see us having any more problems in the conference.
I didn't mention it at the top, but Rod is an All-American on the Bearcat football team. I think that deserves a nice round of applause. Our very own offensive lineman, the All-American. And I'm sure, Rod, there are things that, you know, you can improve on, the offense can improve on, but it sure seems like that your offense was very comfortable last week. It seemed like you were very confident, really in a rhythm. What made the difference, in your opinion?
Well, we really started to turn around practice, and I know that's kind of cliche to say, but it actually, you know, when you have a good practice and you're prepared and you film and on the field, it's easy to translate that into the game. I mean, so you're really not, you know, you don't have to guess about much. You take pretty much any kind of apprehension out of the way because you kind of know what to expect from your opponent. And really all that's left on Saturday is to go out and do it and execute. And our coaches do a great job of putting us in a position to succeed. And, I mean, we really just go out and we play the game. We get to have fun.
Talk a little bit about maybe so far this year your favorite memory. You know, offensive linemen don't get a lot of accolades, as it were. Talk a little bit about something that happened in the trenches maybe or just your favorite memory so far of the season.
My favorite memory would be from, I think it was two games ago or a game ago up in UNK. I think we ended the game with 46 knockdowns, and that's something that we chart every week. And, you know, just to come out and play, you know, physical on that level, especially with as many questions that were surrounding the group, we all had a blast doing it. And just to see, like, the coaches, you know, get involved with us and, you know, really, I guess, bring that level of physicality back to, you know, Northwest O-line. It was just a joy to be a part of. And then everybody on the O-line was having fun. And, you know, usually when we get our group rolling, it kind of trickles down to, you know, the skill players. And so far this season, that was probably my funnest experience.
As I mentioned earlier, offensive linemen, you know, you don't get a whole lot of accolades.
Yeah.
But being the left tackle,
we get a lot of pressure.
You're a pretty important guy.
Yeah.
Because you protect the blind side of your quarterback. You know, what goes into your preparation to keep him alive and off of his back?
I mean, every week I just go into the game just thinking, you know, not to sound conceited or cocky, but I feel like I've done enough preparation during the week. And with, you know, just my athletic ability that I've been blessed with, I don't really think that I'll have any problem with anybody who lines up across the ball from me. And that's really my mentality. Whether you got a guy who's, you know, a returning All-American or you got a first-year starter, I don't think that there's a DN in the league who is able to compete with me. And I just go out there and I play like that.
You know, this week there are some challenges. What are some of the challenges that Central Oklahoma presents to the Bearcat offense?
Well, they have seven, and it's their whole front seven. They're across the board up front. They have four excellent D linemen, very, very violent with their hands. They do a good job of playing off blocks, and their linebackers do a great job of scraping over in space and making plays. So we got to try our hardest not to get tied up two-on-ones and let them, you know, run around without people on their, you know, falling at their legs. And we really got to make them, I guess, let them know that we're there. You know, anybody can make plays when you're playing out in space, and that's really what we want to try not to do. We need to find a way to neutralize their front seven with our front five. And, you know, with the core that we got, the experience that we have on the line, and just the fact that, you know, we've been rolling for these last couple of weeks, I feel like we can really do a good job of that.
You know, that offensive line, you know, it really takes a special chemistry between each and every one. You got your center back, you got your starting quarterback back. That play a big role last Saturday?
Well, yeah, it plays a role in that. Like you said, it takes you really got to be a cohesive unit to be a good O-line. But the people that we have step up, and this has been preached to me since I got here, Doral's always been big on, you know, when you play the O-line, one, he makes everybody learn more than one position. And two, I feel like anybody who we take with us or anybody who's in the immediate too deep is competent enough to play. So we all know that we're one injury away. So Drew stepped in. He did a phenomenal job. We won the two games that he started. But, you know, to say that we didn't miss Chevy, you know, that our starter, you know, that would be a lie. So we're happy to have him back. But I'm more than, you know, I have all the faith in the world in the guys who back us up. They come in and do a great job.
We'll switch gears again. Talk a little bit about your major and your plans for the future.
Oh, well, I'm pre-law. I'm majoring in what am I majoring in? I forgot that quick. Organizational communication. Why is that so hard? Tongue-tied is a communication major, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, organizational communication. I would love to go to law school, UMKC or KU. Those are both two law schools that I've had my eye on. Long-term, I would love to break into politics. So.
Okay. Tell us your favorite type of music.
Favorite type of music is rap. I love rap. R&B. I can listen to R&B all day.
Are you a pretty good rap artist yourself?
I wouldn't say I'm prolific, but, you know, I have toyed with it here and there.
Well, I won't put you on the spot, but maybe later in the year I will, okay?
Okay.
We're talk a little bit about now your maybe your favorite meal.
My favorite meal, Well, if I go off the stories my mom told me, my favorite meal ever is just pizza. I love pizza. I had it for my first birthday, and I will eat it anytime I get a chance now. So I really love pizza.
How about a treasured possession? You have anything special?
I do have a treasured possession, actually, and I just got it, but I fell in love with it as soon as I got it. A couple of weeks ago, my mom was up here at the game, and she gave me a blue and silver luchador's mask. And if you don't know what a luchador is, it's like a highly respectable wrestler down in Mexico or whatever. And they wear these masks around town, and they never take them off, and people never see their face. And she went out to San Diego a couple of months ago, and she saw it. She thought about me, and she bought it for me. So I've pretty much worn that just, you know, around town randomly, just pop up on people with a blue mask on.
Yep. How about nicknames? Is your teammates giving you a nickname?
No, and this is what I get teased for a lot. I'm the guy who, I guess, makes up his own nicknames and gives them to myself. So I've been ridiculed a little bit. But one nickname that was given to me that I really don't like is Blindside. Ever since that movie came out, Doral has been calling me Big Mike, Blindside. Because at the time, I was number 74. And, you know, that's Michael Orr's number.
Right.
And, you know, just giving me grief about that. But, yeah, I got a couple of nicknames. I won't get into all of them, though.
How about one thing that might surprise us to know about Rod Williams?
I am an avid lover of classic Disney movies. I have the whole collection at home on original VHS, and I watch them every time I go home.
And your favorite Disney movie?
Oh, it's a toss-up between either Alice in Wonderland or Fox and the Hound. I'm so serious. I love those movies.
Our big offensive lineman loves Disney movies. That's great. Rod, thanks for spending time with us.
Yeah,
and
no
good
problem.
Luck
thanks
on Saturday.
Me. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Rod Williams, everyone, left tackle for your Northwest Missouri State University Bearcats. After this one-minute break, John Coffey and coaches Doral and Phelps will return and answer your questions. So if you haven't had a chance to fill out your question card, do it now when we return. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXTV, your flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's Bearcat Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice at 119 East 4th in Maryville. More information available at 660-582-7196.
This broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you by the Northwest Medical Center of Albany, Missouri. The Northwest Medical Center offers ambulatory and general surgery, cardiac rehabilitation, dietary counseling, and occupational therapy at 705 North College in Albany, Missouri. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from A&G Restaurant in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering located at 208 North Main in Maryville. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by MTE Office Center with locations in Maryville and Cameron, providing computers, printing, networking, furniture, and office supplies since 1935. MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
Welcome back to on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill, and rejoined by the head coach of the Northwest football team, Adam Doral, and also the volleyball team, Amy Phelps. And time to take some of your questions. Again, if you have a question card at your table, go ahead and bring those up right now, and we will pass those along to the coaches here. And first of all, we have a coach for question for Coach Adam Doral, and this more about the quarterback situation now with Trevor Adams back. Question is, will we see a lot of Seals and Bulls the rest of the season with Trevor back in the lineup?
There we go. We're going to continue to use Brady just because he's a little bit different than the other two. You know, we grade and watch everything in practice, and he's done a really good job the last 3 weeks. We've got a package in for him this week, and you'll have to kind of stay tuned to see what it is, but I'm excited. I think he's a kid. He's just very explosive. He's a very good athlete. He's a kid that you can line up at some other positions. So we're just going to try to get him on the field and look at some different things and hopefully grow it as the season goes on.
And, Amy, as far as your team goes, again, well into this season right now, what's some of the things that you like best about what you see now of your squad?
I've liked that we have some firepower. We can take a team out if we make the decision to do so. I like that our young players, you know, are on the court and playing well. So youth hasn't really been a problem for us, per se. So I like that they've stepped up and raised their level.
All right. And also, AD, we've got a question here. Someone kind of looking ahead a week or two down the line here with Lindenwood, and they want to know what you know about Lindenwood and what they bring to them, IAA.
Not a lot. We're not playing Lindenwood this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're not playing. So I don't really know a lot about them other than I looked at, you know, just when the new teams came in the summer, looking at their facilities and stuff. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but they got nice stuff, and they just built a new multi-million-dollar student complex for all sports and for all students. So it's, I guess, a pretty impressive deal.
I might talk for both of you a little bit about the new schools coming into the MIAA and what you feel that they bring to the conference. Amy, as far as maybe on the volleyball side here, first of all, with some of the new schools coming in and the type of competition they bring in.
They bring in a number one in the country ranking with them, Nebraska Kearney. So, of course, you know, they're going to be tough, and they're going to give Central and Truman and, you know, the teams that have done Washburn, they're going to give them a run for their money. They beat Washburn in four. And I think everyone saw what Washburn, you know, has the potential to do here when we played them. And so for them to beat them in four, I think that just makes a statement. You know, as far as the others, we haven't played any of them yet. But, you know, I'm sure that they're going to be well represented.
And, AD, as far as the new schools coming in, Northwest has seen a number of those here in the last 3 weeks or so. What do you feel that the new schools bring to them?
Well, I mean, so far I've seen, you know, quality. And I think that's the thing when you look at growth or expansion. I think you want to see quality come in. I certainly, you know, I've publicly stated I want to get through a season first. You know, I'm just talking about the football realm now. I want to get through a football season first and kind of see how it shakes out because – I'm not sure how you can crown a champion or, you know, when you start looking at playoffs and things like that, which a regional committee is going to have to do. I don't know how you're supposed to, you know, validate one over the other if they haven't played each other. So I think that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. I think it's probably going to be a little bit more challenging than people think at this point. And we'll have to wait and see. But certainly, you know, with the coaches that I've met and you know, the stuff that I researched in the summer, I feel like it's a quality, you know, group they brought in.
One thing, too, I want to look at both of you right now coming in with teams that have done well up to this point in the season. You have to feel good about just the entire athletic program that we have both with volleyball, with football, and the rest of the sports right now. Everyone seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, I'll take that. Amy's doing a great job. She really is. I mean, you get put in the circumstances she was put in and at late notice, and she's done a really good job. She's working really hard, and she's there a lot of hours. And the thing I always look at with coaches is I always look at their kids. I don't know anything about volleyball, but I always see her kids smiling and having fun, and they're very competitive. And I think that says a lot about her and what she's doing. You know, I'm excited about our new women's basketball coach. I just, you know, our run-ins with him have been very positive, and he's a go-getter. I've seen more, you know, 6'3" or 6'4" girls roaming through campus that are on the recruiting visits, and I think it says a lot about our athletic director. You know, he came here and he's done a great job, and he's got a lot of energy, and he's hired some very good young people around him, and you know, the thing I enjoy is that we all get along, and our kids support each other, and that's I've worked at other places, and it's not always that way, so I really enjoy that about Northwest.
And Amy, I imagine it's kind of similar feeling for you there.
Yeah, it's been fun to have, you know, you go to work and you have fun. It's just fun to be around the football guys. Of course, you know, they're always busy and we're always busy, but, you know, we have found time to get into each other's offices, and whether it's coffee or something that brings us together, we've found, you know, something that ties us that's other than sports. And it's just been, it's been a fun atmosphere to be in. You know, obviously the situation I was put in, you make the best of it, you know, and I'm just happy that, you know, Ren has been the way he has been with me and said some of the stuff, you know, just go coach the way that you want to coach. And it, you know, just has endorsed me from the second that the offer was given to me. And so I'm just lucky that I was put in the situation with his support. And I feel like, you know, me being here already, and I understand all of the things that go in with the athletic department. And, you know, Ren has just done a great job of bringing us all together, and the remodel, I think, has helped us all be really up on the same page. And so I feel like a lot of good positive things are coming out of this athletic department.
All right, well, guys and gals, glad to have you with us on the program tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, that's head volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State, Amy Phillips, and the head football coach at Northwest, Adam Dorlin. Thanks as well to Rod Williams and Colin DeVizer for being with us on the program here this evening. Don't forget that coming up this weekend, Bearcat football down in Edmond, Oklahoma, Northwest and Central Oklahoma. If you can't make the trip down there, we'll have it right here on KXCV KRNW beginning at 12 noon with Bearcat game day. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, Northwest and Central Oklahoma. Again, my thanks to everyone involved with the program. I'm John Coffin. We'll be back right here next week, same time.